delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Through tax day again. We've made it through tax day, and the federal government's setting all-time records for the amount of money they have brought in, and yet they continue to bleed. They continue to bleed with record debts and deficits. The national debt over $20 trillion now. Stemmed a bit when Donald Trump came into office. I haven't seen any stats on it recently, but after the first 6 or 7 weeks, the national debt had actually gone down by $100 billion. But I don't think that trend's going to continue. Rachel Bavard here, an experienced hand on Capitol Hill, Director of Policy for the Heritage Foundation. Rachel, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, all right. So the idea then by some folks is that we need a constitutional amendment that would, in effect, drain the swamp, as they say. Tell me about that idea and how that would work.
Well, it's called the Balanced Budget Amendment, and it's been around Washington and conservative circles for, you know, about a decade now. But it's this idea that it would be a constitutional amendment requiring the Congress and the federal government to balance its budget every year. There are certain state governments that have this requirement already. But essentially, if the budget wasn't balanced, you trigger sort of an automatic sequestration until the budget came to balance. So it essentially forces the government to live within its means. It forces the government to only pay out based on the revenues it takes in. Again, as
the concern, however,
it would be you would have to be ratified by the states in addition to being passed by Congress.
Yeah, of course it would. It'd take 34 states, I believe, and to ratify. But here's my question. Okay, so you make it, you can only spend the money you have, but the problem is you have all of these entitlement programs that are required spending, whether it's Social Security or Medicaid, whatever it may be, you're required to spend this money. And so therefore, when you have sequestration, you won't have a military, you won't have any, there won't be much left at some point because of all of the deals that have been made by politicians leading up to this point. How can you do one without addressing the other?
Well, I think you're right to point out that the stakes are high, and I think that's the situation we're in. People consider a balanced budget amendment when we get to the state we're in, which is $20 trillion in debt and growing. You know, this is something that cuts are going to be required, and they're going to be painful. You know, I think what you have to do is you have to balance, you know, what's required. Obviously, the military and national interest, national defense have to be funded regardless. We can't just say, look, we're going to take, you know, the next year off from defending the country. But I do think that Congress needs sort of this sort of kick in the pants, I think, to address the big drivers of the debt, which are entitlements. You know, this is, they call them the third rail of politics for a reason. Nobody wants to touch them. Balanced budget amendment sort of, you know, makes people do that by putting things like defense on the line, putting things that are really important to the national interest on the line to get Congress to actually pay attention, do its job, and fix these entitlement programs.
Right, and the problem is, you just said it's going to take courage, it's going to take fortitude. Feckless politicians on both sides of the aisle have no interest in doing any of this because it might cost them their cozy seat in Congress and all the perks that go with it, including not having to take Obamacare themselves personally, for example. Not that I'm bitter about that at all. Well, you know, I hate it when it comes out like that. But the point being is, how would you ever get it through Congress? Seriously, how would you ever get in? How are you going to herd these cats into a place where they will actually do what they're supposed to do?
Well, I think, you know, you're right. Politicians never actually want to pass something that is going to make it hard on them. But I think we're in a situation where, you know, the idea behind the Balanced Budget Amendment is it puts this external structure on Congress instead of relying on sort of the intestinal fortitude that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and will, this actually puts parameters around Congress. So Congress doesn't really have a choice if this were to be enacted. How do you get it through Congress? You know, I think you have to increase the grassroots pressure on Congress, you know, to say this is something that's going to be required. And to be honest, a lot of these guys, you know, will vote for something that they know won't affect them for several years.
Yeah, that's true.
Seen that before. You know, they love kicking the can down the road.
Which brings me back to Obamacare. You know, as long as he's out of office and the rate increases occur, then Barack Obama doesn't care. As long as he's down the road with his pension plan and is into the sunset, you're right. People kick the can down the road as long as it doesn't affect them. And therein lies the problem. I wonder, but there is another way, as you suggested. There's another way to get to that, and that's a constitutional convention, which takes The state's calling for it. So it doesn't have to go through Congress. Congress can be sidestepped altogether. It's something the founding fathers put into the Constitution for a reason. If our politicians wouldn't do it, we the people certainly can.
No, I think that's certainly an option. And I think we're at a point where, you know, serious options need to be considered. I mean, this, we're at a point with $20 trillion in debt where our, you know, debt to GDP ratio is about 90%. And when you look historically at economies that have approached that ratio, their economies start to decline and they don't recover. I mean, we are really in a fiscal crisis, I think, you know, more so than we've ever been. And I think serious action and serious considerations are going to be required.
So where do you think you could start? I mean, if you take a close look at this and you take a serious look and say, okay, can we change Social Security? I think that most people would be, and Rachel Bavard here with us from the Heritage Foundation, I think most people would be, I would be anyhow, so I figure if I'm on board, somebody else is, and that is that a graduated increase in the retirement age on Social Security from 60 and add a month every year or however you might look at it. So the people that are currently getting Social Security are not affected, but that you raise the age to 67 or 68 or like the Germans have to 69 for the retirement age. There's got to be some way you address it so the system is more, I don't know, buoyant, I suppose.
I think that's exactly right. What you're talking about is a really simple step that could make a really big difference. And I think it's a testament to sort of the, you know, state we're in that no one's considering it. You know, you have a ton of lobbying and interest on the other side who don't want, you know, that to be implemented. But the reality is, look, we're not going to, the system is not sustainable. The system is going broke. This is a basic step that can make a big difference if Congress would consider it. You know, and I think the other thing, you know, is, it's kind of sad. It's commentary on where we are that there's a government funding deadline, you know, when they get next week, essentially, when they get back to work, they have 4 days to fund the government, Congress does. And, you know, Republicans aren't making any effort to use that opportunity to cut spending at all. So we have to start with these little opportunities if we're going to get to the big opportunities, you know, like entitlement reform.
See, one of the challenges we face, of course, though, is, you know, during 2016, we saw this, Rachel, it was breathtaking, the number of people that have absolutely no understanding of basic mathematics. I know because they would gather 30 and 35,000 at a time to listen to Bernie Sanders talk, which means that people have no understanding of basic math. They don't get that it's going to run out. They don't get that you can't just grow trees with money and free stuff for everybody. We've bred this whole generation or more of people that are complete imbeciles when it comes to mathematics. What do we do about it?
Well, I think there needs to be some honest discussions. I think part of the reason we're in this situation where, you know, people just don't understand sort of the basic functions, basic math of government is that because politicians don't explain it to them. Politicians tell them what they want to hear. And you have the Bernie Sanders of the world. And you have Republicans who haven't really communicated this well enough, you know, and cut their own share of deals. And there hasn't just been a good explanation of, look, this is exactly what's happening. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And I'm going to make the hard decisions, you know, to get us out of this crisis. And I think, you know, we just haven't seen that breed of politician, and we also haven't seen the electorate being willing to hear, you know, some of these facts and statistics about the place that we're in.
Good news, Rachel. I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all here. People are just going to have to choke on it. It's the way it is. At any rate, Rachel, I greatly appreciate your time from the Heritage Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
There you have Rachel Bavard. Constitutional amendment, good idea. Can it happen? Awfully tough climb. I mean, that's a hard sell. Very hard sell. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines the last few minutes of the third hour here if you've got something you'd like to chime in on. Lots to talk about. This hour of the program brought to you by Northville Lumber. Sell more Trex decking and railing than anyone else in the Midwest does, Northville. You can find out more at northvillelumber.com. Northvillelumber.com, our newest partner. We appreciate their support. We'll be right back.